So I'm entitling this The Butterfly Effect, and the scripture I want to use as kind of the basis of the background is Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So, Lord, I pray that all of us today would just be encouraged as we think about what you can do through our lives every single day when we take a risk, when we open our mouth, when we love somebody in the name of Jesus, when we engage somebody, whatever we do, I pray that we would get a vision about what that can do and what Amen. Could happen
yes.
when we do that. That we would get out of our pauper, unbelieving mindset that says, what do I have to offer? What impact am yes. I making? But yes. that rather, God, we would realize that you are the one who multiplies fishes yeah. and loaves. You're the one that amplifies truth, that anything that we do, in the name of Jesus, are things, God, that you can take, things that you can use, things that you can multiply. And I pray that we would be incredibly encouraged
yeah.
at the end of this time, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
So I've shared with you guys a couple of images. The first one is, I can look at the data and I can look at the, you know, I put up these podcasts every now and then. I've had this podcast for some years, and it's not that it gets all that many listens or downloads in terms of like overall numbers. If you want to just do data, you want to do stats, but I just wanted to see where my podcast had gone in the last 10 months, right? And that first image is all of the nations that where downloads have taken place from my podcast in the last year. This is a little podcast that I throw up. I do a teaching here and I turn it into an MP3 and upload it and put it out there. And literally, those are countries where there were downloads. Now, if I changed it, I could get another image. I don't have it. But if I change to plays, there's probably 10, 15 more countries that were not into downloads. It's interesting because people who download things are usually of a different age group than people that just do plays, mobile plays. Because a millennial friend of ours reposted my podcast on her Instagram this last week on the 21st. And all of a sudden, I see that huge numbers,
wow,
hundreds of plays, mobile plays. And she's like, oh, yeah, none of us download anything. We just play it. We have unlimited data on our phones, and we play things. So I can actually tell now the age of, yeah, and I get it. There's probably some of these countries where downloading is more common, even from young people. But in America, people don't download things on their phone. They just don't do it anymore.
They're, can I ask you a question about that? Is the light blue, what's the difference between the dark blue and the light blue?
The dark blue is the country that's the U.S. that has the most. That has the most.
I know. And so all that light blue is all the countries that have
downloaded my podcast.
That's a lot.
Globally.
Is South Africa there?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yippee!
Yes. Anyway. No. But I wanted to look at the last 2 weeks, which is the next image. And I took a look at the countries. I took a look at the countries. This is the last 2 weeks of plays, mobile plays. You can see that right after the 21st is when she posted the plays. And then all of a sudden there was 14 plays on the 21st, 32 plays on the 22nd, 62 on the 23rd. Like, I never get mobile plays. You can see before she posted it, there's hardly anything, right? So never, nobody ever does it. Look at, on my thing, it's downloads, visits and downloads, right? So just in the last 2 weeks, 867 visits, 283 downloads, 153 mobile plays, 42 normal plays. And I just did a 20-minute rant about what's it mean to be a remnant believer in the hour that I got excited about, because I got motivated by a pastor named Todd Coconato that was talking about, I'm done. I'm done with masks. I'm done with not speaking up. I'm done. I'm just done. It's all crap. And I'm done. And I'm, you know, I'm not. And he just, it was just awesome. It's like, I'm done. And I'm done talking about tiptoeing around. And well, we can just agree to disagree. No, we can't agree to, we cannot agree to disagree about these things. That the fact is, the masks don't work. They don't work on kids. They definitely, they are actually hurt. They, the data has come out on the 1918 Spanish flu. And they now estimate that they said millions of people died around the world because of that Spanish flu. But now they estimate that more people died that got pneumonia because of the face mask that they were wearing than from the virus itself. But that is not reported in the media. That the reason that so many people died with the Spanish flu was not because of the Spanish flu, which was a coronavirus that went around the world in 1918, 1919, 1920, but because everybody was wearing face diapers on their face, and this was and they caught respiratory illnesses, and more people died from pneumonia. But wait, oh yeah, CNN didn't report that. I wonder why. Interesting. Like, nobody ever told me that when I took, I learned about the Spanish flu. I learned about the global pandemic that killed all these people, but nobody told us that the face masks ended up killing more people than the virus itself. So anyway, he was done. So he motivated me, and I decided to rant for 20 minutes. Thought it was much longer because I had like 12 characteristics of a remnant believer in this hour. And then I put it on a podcast, and it went all over the world in the last 2 weeks. Butterfly effect. And then I wanted to see, obviously, Iran is very, you know, Iran. So I have Iran and Cambodia here. Cambodia, still probably living in 1990s technology. So they're downloading, right? It's like me. Like, I download things. I don't do mobile plays, you know. I download things, right? I download. Even if there's a YouTube video, I turn it into an audio and download the audio. Wow. I mean, I did that for Mike Bickles, all of those messages, right? Anyway, I did exceed my data limit, and I had my phone's data cut off last week. So I'm like, I need to download audio files, not be streaming videos. But when you've got unlimited data and whatever. So I'm looking at this going, in the last 2 weeks, 34 downloads in the country of Cambodia. I'm like, I went to Cambodia like 12 years ago now. I don't know anybody in Cambodia. But lots of people watch or listen to my podcast in Iran. There was 32 plays in Iran in the last 2 weeks. So I just want you guys to get this idea. A pastor who is influenced by somebody else influenced me, and I did something, and then somebody else liked it and put it on their Instagram, and then people, and it's so interesting because I've been watching for Butterfly Effect, because this week, Natalie and I both had a chance to do this teaching to Bhutanese believers in Bhutan. And I told them about the podcast. So I'm watching. I'm like, I want to see when Bhutan lights up, because Bhutan is one of these countries that still is not downloading or playing or watching or visiting my podcast. I haven't ever had a visit, as far as I know, from Bhutan, right? Now, it's not like most people don't even know. Most people in America don't even know that what Bhutan is or where it is. So it's, and you guys all do, because we all know it. You guys are, most of you, many of you are from near where Bhutan is. But most people in America have no idea what Bhutan is. But I'm looking, I'm like, where's the butterfly effect of one of those Bhutanese believers that listens to the podcast and downloads it or plays it, and then who knows what they're going to do? Are they going to share it on their Instagram stream? So the butterfly effect. Well, let me tell you a couple of butterfly effects. How many people in this room have ever heard the name Mordecai Ham? Ever heard that name, Mordecai Ham? Okay. One, you've heard it? You've heard the name? Okay, he's not alive. He died in 1961. Now, if you know somebody named Mordecai Ham, that's not what I'm talking about. Does anybody know? Okay, one, it looks like Murray might know who Mordecai Ham is. Well, let me tell you who Mordecai Ham was. He died in 1961. He was an evangelist that preached back in, after the turn of the century, like early 1900s. And he was from Kentucky, and in 1934, Mordecai Ham preached a series of nightly revival meetings in the town of Charlotte, North Carolina. And there was a young teenager by the name of Billy Graham who gave his life to Jesus at a Mordecai Ham crusade. Graham said he attended the crusade out of curiosity, was transfixed by Ham, who looked straight at him and said, "Young man, you are a sinner." Wow. And Graham made a confession of faith on that night in 1934. In 1961, Billy Graham went to Mordecai Ham's funeral. Wow. And paid tribute to him at the Walnut Street Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, calling him a giant of the faith and claiming that there were at least 8,000 men. Again, you know, Billy Graham honoring men in ministry. 8,000 men who were pastors and in the pulpit in that time, in 1961, directly as a result of Mordecai Ham's ministry. 8,000 pastors in pulpits. And Billy Graham said this at Mordecai Ham's funeral. The butterfly effect. Nobody in this room, or very few of you, maybe one of you, had heard of Mordecai Ham. But had Mordecai Ham not preached at a crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, on that fall night in 1934, would a young teenager named Billy Graham have given his life to Jesus? Hmm. And then he became the greatest evangelist in the history of the church. Wow. Now, how about sometimes we don't know the impact of things that we do. You know, sometimes we write things and we post things and we, whatever. We put stuff out on social media. I have a blog. I'll put testimonies. I mean, we've had, I don't know, over 100,000 people that have visited the blog since we started in 2006. It used to be a bunch of us would contribute to it. And pretty much now I just throw up maybe testimony every now and then. But you know, you write something, you blog something, you put something out there, and you just really have no idea. You know, sometimes you can't get out much. I mean, like you think about like COVID. COVID has actually trapped people. It's limited people. I mean, there's been times with the shutdowns. Well, back in the first century, there were some shutdowns. This guy, you might have heard of him. We know him today as the Apostle Paul. He got converted because he was persecuting Christians. He was a zealous Jew, and he got converted on the road to Damascus in the year 34 AD. And then he disappeared for like 12 years until another believer named Barnabas went to Paul's hometown. It was Saul of Tarsus. So Paul was living in modern-day Turkey, and Barnabas went to get this guy thinking this guy might be useful in this new faith that we're trying to kind of get kick-started here. I mean, you got to understand, this is 46 AD. Jesus rose from the dead, left the planet in 33 AD, right? So stuff was happening, but Paul didn't even get in the game until 47 AD when his public ministry began. In 4 years after he started, however, he was thrown in prison. So Paul had some shutdowns. Just get this. Also, 57 AD, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. Interestingly, there was another time he was arrested. That was in 60 to 62 AD. He was under house arrest. So Paul was put for 2 years. Imagine his public ministry was from 47 AD until he was martyred in 65 or 66 AD. So Paul ministered for 20 years. And of that 20 years, at least 3 of those years, maybe more, we're not sure exactly, because he was imprisoned in Philippi in 51 AD, and then there was the miraculous escape. We read about it in Acts chapter 16. So how long they were held, but anyway, he was limited there. He was arrested in Jerusalem in 57 AD, which was probably longer, and then he went before the rulers. So he was also sidelined he was in a shutdown situation in 57. 2 years he was under house arrest and without social media. He couldn't tweet. He couldn't post on Instagram. He didn't have any TikTok. He had none of that. But he wrote a couple of letters back there in 60 to 62 AD, probably really frustrated that he couldn't get out and preach and be with the people and do what he wanted to do. But he wrote a couple of letters. One of them, you might have heard of it. It's called the Book of Ephesians. Imagine a letter that he wrote while he was under house arrest. People could come visit him. But you know how it is. I know you don't know how it is, but I know how it is because one of my good friends, when we lived in Qatar, was under house arrest, and no pastors would go visit him because they were too afraid that if they went to visit him, maybe they would get flagged, tagged. But we'd already been flagged, so we would hang out with Pastor Christopher from Pakistan. Anyway, so Paul wrote a couple of letters while he was incapacitated. One of them, the Book of Ephesians. Another one maybe you've heard of, the Book of Philippians. Maybe there's another one you've heard of. There's another one, little letter he wrote called Colossians. And then he wrote one, not nearly as well known, but we know it because it ended up in the book that we call the Bible, called the New Testament, that we call God's Word, called Philemon. So while Paul was arrested in 60 to 62 AD in Rome, and then he was transferred during that imprisonment down to Caesarea, down in the Holy Land, he was down there as well. But he was basically unable to travel, under house arrest, and he wrote a couple of letters that Can you think of anybody over the last 2,000 years that maybe was influenced by one of these letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison, thinking that his ministry was failing probably, couldn't do anything? What good can I do? Guys, you got to think outside the box here right now.
Yeah.
What the heck are we thinking? If God gets a hold of something, like I'm looking at the videos here now, and I'm looking at it as it's here. I'm going crazy.
No, you're not.
But Paul, right before he was martyred in Rome, he also wrote another letter when he was imprisoned the second time. They call it his second Rome imprisonment. He wrote a letter to one of the younger guys that he was mentoring named Timothy. He wrote 2 Timothy while he was imprisoned there. And I don't know about you, but I heard that there was a group of believers in the Middle East that actually studied that letter at a retreat in Jahra 2,000 years later. I think that might just be the butterfly effect of what could happen when you do anything that you do in the name of Jesus. It says we are the salt of the earth. Okay? The earth is big and salt is small. The nature of this, or you are the light of the world. The world is considered to be a realm in the spirit of darkness. But if you are a light in the middle of darkness, you automatically have a massive impact. Light in darkness, massive impact. Salt has a massive impact. All of these analogies, all of these pictures are to show us that you cannot, when you factor God into the equation, Amen. You cannot underestimate
Amen, yes.
the impact that you are having.
Yeah.
The only thing that you have to realize is that if you keep your frickin' mouth shut, if you don't talk to people, and you don't love people, and you don't, you do anything you do in Jesus, yeah, but I didn't share the whole gospel, or I don't care what you don't think you can do or not do, or I just prayed for that woman in the bathroom at the mall, and whatever. I want to tell you right now, we are having an impact that we will never know.
That's right.
You never know that woman that you prayed for, that got healed, that you couldn't even speak to, but she's like, you know, Yesu, Yesu, you know, she's giving. And then she knows that Jesus healed her. She might have been a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Tamil-speaking Muslim from Sri Lanka, but she goes back home because she got kicked out of the country, and she starts evangelizing, and who knows, if you praying for a woman in the bathroom at Avenues is not going to lead to the next Billy Graham in Sri Lanka.
Come on, yes. Amen.
You just might be Mordecai Ham.
That's right.
We don't name people Mordecai anymore. That is so hilarious what we used to name people. I know there's some names in Arabic they don't still name people either, like, you know, these names, it's like, oh yeah, that's like my great-grandmother's name. You know, they like retired that name 100 years ago. Mordecai would be one of those names. You'll never meet. I don't know. Maybe I'm insulting some of your cultures. We're still using it. Anyway, in America, we're not naming people Mordecai anymore. But obviously, Mordecai Ham. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there's names. But I want us... Sometimes I just think about it, it's like, we can't travel, you know, can't, you know, the bigger things that we've done in the past, and, you know, last year's so weird. It's like, I looked at my podcast this week, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, Lord.
Who needs to travel?
It went all over the world.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. I don't have any, you know, I didn't do anything. I just threw some out there. I have no idea what God's going to do when we put something out there. I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you. You talk to somebody, I'm not having an impact. I don't have a podcast. Well, you know what? The first couple of years, I just started one, and it was free. You know, I don't like to pay for anything. If you know anything about me, it's like, I don't like to pay for anything. Very cheap. Very frugal, you know? Natalie loves to spend money. Oh, you know, like, I get the text when she uses the card, right?
I hate that he gets the text.
I get it. I get the card. Natalie has a gift. Spending money. Whoa. Whatever, you know. Anyway.
So, the king.
You can actually start a podcast for free. You can start a blog for free. And you can just start writing stuff up. You can start typing stuff. You can start doing stuff. You can start whatever. You have no idea. Now, I don't know how it all works. I don't know how it all works. We open our mouth. We write something. We put something up there. I know, you know, for security reasons, we don't do much with video. But, you know, everybody, you know, TikTok and this and that. I want to tell you, I was telling Natalie today, there are people that I'm following right now. A guy named Brad in Tennessee. Another guy named Phil lives in Pennsylvania. Another guy named Dave. I don't even know where this guy Dave lives. These guys have hundreds of thousands of people that are following them. Every time they post something, they're posting videos. Most of these people have been deplatformed from Facebook and from, you know, all of the globalists on YouTube and whatever else, because they're speaking truth. So they've been deplatformed, but they've replatformed. They're on Rumble. They're on DLive. They're going to be on Frank's Speech, Mike Lindell's new thing. They're on Telegram now. And these people in the last 6 months have gone from having no followers, nothing, to hundreds of thousands of downloads and watches, mostly plays because it's a new generation. But some of these people, one guy, this guy Brad I'm listening to, Brad is my age. He just had a little laptop and he starts doing, now he's finally, you know, some people are like, listen, if you're going to keep doing this, let's get some proper stuff. And he's getting like a proper microphone and he's, you know, whatever. He's starting to do, but when he's sitting there, it's like, it's hilarious. He sometimes is doing this stuff on his phone. Hundreds of thousands of people listening to him as he's sharing truth as he's speaking last 6 months. Okay, you can't make this stuff up, guys. You have no idea. You really have no idea. And the butterfly effect says, and here I want to tell you this, I guarantee that behind Brad, behind Phil, or behind Dave, these are three of them, these three influencers. So another one out of New York, just trying to remember her name. Another one out of Arizona. Just people. I guarantee that behind them, there was a butterfly that flapped their wings. One person,
yeah. Yep.
That inspired them to start broadcasting. And look what happens. And you know what? Maybe Mordecai has no idea that Billy Graham. Now, I guess somehow if Mordecai died in 1961 and Billy Graham preached at his funeral, I have a feeling that before Mordecai died, he got to know that one of his converts, somebody that got converted, was a young guy named Billy Graham. Because by 1961, Billy Graham had started doing his huge crusades in the 1940s. So we're talking, there's about 12 years where Billy Graham went global. And Mordecai Ham obviously got to know about it. But there was, and I'll end this message with this last story. No, it's this one. So there was a guy that was, and I'll get some of the in details wrong, but just because I don't remember all the details of the story, but I just want to tell you the backstory that this man was heard a testimony in a church, and he said, this guy in America said, I was walking down a street in Sydney, Australia, and I met this man on the street and he shared the gospel with me. And, I gave my life to Jesus after that. And I'm a Christian. So he thought that was a powerful testimony. So he was preaching in another church and he went to another church and he is in America and he's preaching and
he shares the testimony of the person from the last church, and somebody raises their hand and says, "Preacher, I was walking down that same street in Sydney, Australia, and this old man comes up to me, or this man comes up to me, shares the gospel with me, and I also got saved and gave my life to Jesus." And he's like, "This is crazy." So this guy had a public ministry, itinerant ministry. Everywhere he went, he would share these stories. And everywhere he went, somebody would raise their hand and say, "No, no, no, you don't understand. I never went out of the country, but I went on vacation to Australia, and I was walking down the street in Sydney, Australia, and somebody shared the gospel." So he's like, "I've got to go to Australia and find this person because I'm meeting people all over the place." So he gets on a plane and gets to this place and goes there and starts asking around because it's a street in Sydney, Australia. And everybody knows who this guy is. He's like, "Oh yeah, everybody knows that guy. That guy, he's been doing that for years. He just approaches people on this one street, but he's actually about to die. He's actually on his deathbed or whatever. He's at the end of his life, but I know where he is. You can go visit him." So he goes to the hospital or the nursing home, wherever this guy is, old age pensioner home, if you call it British, I don't know what they call it in Australia, nursing home, finds this guy, and he starts telling him about all of these things. And the guy just begins to weep, and he begins to cry. And he was uncomfortable. It's like, "I don't get it. Like, I'm here to tell you. It's like amazing. You should just be encouraged." He said, "I shared my testimony with people for years and years and years and years, and I never saw anybody get converted. I never saw anybody give their life to Jesus." And then he died. We're talking about the butterfly effect. I just want you guys to think. I saw it this week. I heard this message. I knew we were supposed to do this. We have no idea the impact that we're having. We have no idea. But I love this old Keith Green song. It's like, just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed, and Jesus takes care of the rest. The butterfly effect is that Jesus can take a loaf of bread or a fish, and he can multiply it.
Amen.
And I know, I hear it, you know. I hear you, you know. I hear you, Ophelia. Ophelia, she's, you know, she looks at this nation. She looks at all these people. We're in the middle of the worst religious spirit month of the year in this part of the world. The month of the year where 1 billion Muslims on the planet get religious, you know, for a month. I know there's some that are religious year-round, but everybody gets religious for a month. And Ophelia thinks, how are we going to reach all these people? How are we going to reach all these people? And I want to say it's going to be a butterfly effect. We're going to love whoever's in front of us. We're going to encourage somebody. We're going to share our story. We're going to pray for somebody. We're going to take a risk. We're going to tell somebody something, and there, and a butterfly's going to flap its wings, and maybe the Billy Graham or the, you know, the Fatima Graham, if you want to take a woman, you know.
The Joyce Myers, come on.
Yes, whoever. Somebody, somebody's gonna get a vision. Somebody's gonna. And you're like, she's like, I don't feel like I'm having an impact. How could I have more of an impact? And you know what? It's not fair because God's on our team.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not fair. It's just not fair. I didn't even pray about Cambodia. I haven't even thought about Cambodia. God, help me. But somehow 32 people in Cambodia downloaded my podcast the last 2 weeks. Lord, I have no idea what's going on in Cambodia, but I didn't even know there's 32 people in Cambodia that could understand my English. But could somebody say that the butterfly flapped its wings? Because a pastor living in Tennessee, who also came from California, named Todd Coconato, and I, you know, I confess, I was out on a prayer walk, but I was doing a little bit of listening. Natalie doesn't like it when I go on prayer walks and I listen to podcasts, but she's like, why aren't you praying?
Oh my
gosh. And I was podcasting. Some of the podcasts I listen to aren't exactly, they could be a little deep state, Illuminati, conspiracy. They might not fit it. They might not. I still listen to those. They might not fit into the like the prayer walk thing, but this did. And I came back and as I was walking on this prayer walk, I was jotting down characteristics of a remnant believer. And I wonder if the butterfly flapped its wings and a few Cambodians are inspired today. Maybe some communist Chinese have repented of their disgusting ideology. If you're listening, I'm recording on my Huawei phone. You need to repent before Jesus comes back, or hell is going to be very populated with lots of people from the communist Chinese party, I tell you. But anyway, I pray that God, we as Rock here in this Middle Eastern country with our, we seem, we're small. We're here we are in a house. Here we are, just a few of us eating Iranian and Lebanese kebab and thinking about butterflies flapping their wings and our nations in the world. And we have no idea what you can do if a butterfly flaps its wings this week, Lord, and the impact and the influence. We just pray these things in Jesus' name.